الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. All praise is due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention, grant peace, and send His blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As to what follows, today or tonight is the initiation of a new book, or the discussion of a new book which we have not yet addressed before. I mean, the type or the content or the subject or the topic of the book is something which we have not really dealt with in this sense. Perhaps it was elaborated on in some lectures or classes, but not a book. In terms of books, we've been doing tafsir. And we finished the book of Aqidah. And we did Usul al-Iman, Thalathat Usul, Kashf al-Shubuhat. All of them dealing with pretty much Aqidah, more or less, tafsir. But nothing that deals with the heart softeners. And one problem that we all face, or let me not say all, most of us, at least myself, is the hardening of the heart. Yani, we may be practicing something in Islam outwardly, and we may be involved in da'wah, we may be doing all kinds of things, but the heart is like, meow, about to die out. And you can't find a charger. You know, with your phone it's easy. Plug it in, done. With your heart it's not that easy. It's not as easy. Alaykum as-salamu wa rahmatullah. You see his facial reaction like, what's this? Well, Mr. Shu'aib, since you're such a special person, you will receive a book upon entry because you paid for it. Jazakallah khair. You're going to have to grab a seat. Yeah. طيب, alhamdulillah. So the issues of the heart are very critical. Now, the nice thing about this book is that it's a combination. It deals with the heart softeners and the matters of faith and spirituality, in other words, without dwelling into deviance or innovation or something exaggerated way above and beyond the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And at the same time, it addresses matters of fiqh, it addresses matters of ilm in general, and aqidah. So it's a nice combination of topics or subjects to deal with in one session on a weekly basis. And the book is none but Mukhtasar Minhajul Qasidin, or Minhajul Qasidin, the abridged version of the Minhaj. Minhaj is like Manhaj, and Manhaj is methodology. Qasidin from Qasada Yaqsudu Shay', meaning to intend something, to be determined, to make it to a location or a destination. And Qasidin are those who are intending and seeking Allah and the life to come. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ For whosoever intends or wishes or looks forward to meet Allah in the last day. So these are the Qasidin. And it is the ta'leef of Imam al-Shaykh Ahmed bin Abdul Rahman bin Qudam al-Maqdisi, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And now the book, as I will explain, you will see who first came up with it and then what kind of filtering it went through before it turned out to be the way we have it right now. It says in the beginning, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, and it is the way of the ulama to begin their names with the basmala as a learning from the Quran. The Quran begins with what? Are you sure? Or do you say A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim? Ala tul bismillah ar-rahman ar-rahim, ma fi A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim? Tayyib, so what does it begin with? It begins with A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim? Yeah, you fell for the trap. You have to learn, brother. Not every time I try to lead you somewhere, you go. Huh? The book, when you open it, what does it begin with? Khalas, it begins with basmala. Now you say A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, but it doesn't begin with it. Sahih? Big difference. Big difference. So we have to make that distinction between the two. طيب. قال الشيخ الإمام العالم الزاهد العابد الأوحد العلامة. This is of course the way the scholars used to speak about other scholars. And it's quite amazing. He is the Imam, the Sheikh first. The Imam, the Alim, the knowledgeable scholar. As Zahid, what is Zahid? Of course, you're going to learn, inshallah, a lot of vocabulary. So if you're an English-speaking person, then you will have a good amount of Arabic words in to add to your vocabulary. And if you speak Arabic, then you will get English. And if you speak both, then you will increase both. Because we make it part of our classes in case you're coming here for the first time. We mentioned this is like fourth year or fifth year. I don't know how long it's been. But, you know, language is part and parcel of the class. Entertainment is part of the class. It's not a comedy show. But inshallah, you will not be bored to death, usually. Some people fall asleep during the class. There's nothing I can do for them. But generally, you shouldn't be so bored in the class that you will fall asleep. Unless you just find me very boring, which is fine. I'm not mad at you. Vocabulary and language is part of the class. So my humble suggestion is that invest a good 3 to 5 riyals into a notebook and a pencil or a pen. And bring it along with you. And take down some notes. So you can revise them later on and they will help you in the long run, inshallah. Because eventually we will forget. What you remember today, you will forget next week. Unless you write it down. It becomes very unlikely that you will forget it. That's just human nature. So a zahid is what? What is zuhud? Lah. Time out, chief. I don't want any definition of the mashayikh. I want translation now. Zuhd. In English.
Understanding is...
No, it's not a sentence. It's a single word.
Ascetic?
Yes.
Asceticism.
Asceticism. Zuhd is asceticism. You can look up the spelling on your own time. And the one who practices asceticism is an ascetic. Mashi? I believe it's A-S-C-E-T-I-C, in case my memory serves me well. Nevertheless, word document. You type it incorrectly, right-click on the word, it will give you the right spelling. So you don't have to complain much. Ascetic is the one who practices asceticism. Which is what now? You want to give me a definition of Shaykh al-Islam? You change your mind? Lala, give us, what is a zahid, tayyib? What is zuhud?
Like, according to him, it's like leaving... What does not benefit you in the hereafter.
Beautiful. So it is the concept of staying away from that which is of no benefit. That's the basic definition. That's the correct definition. Of course, it has been defined differently. And it has been misused as well. So that we got a bunch of people who would wear suf. Wool. Even if it's hot. They would deliberately wear something that will keep them even more hot. And they would deliberately eat bad food and abandon people and mix in with them because they were, supposedly, they didn't care much for the dunya. Okay? We don't care for the dunya. I'm preparing for the life to come. Therefore, all this worldly material is of no concern to me. So they will abandon the things which Allah made halal for them, at times obligatory, and go do something other than the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And then, of course, with time it developed until the tasawwuf and suf became Sufi, and then Sufism, and then we have all the calamities which you heard in Jumu'ah yesterday. All this came as a byproduct of someone abandoning the sunnah. Otherwise, the sunnah is, if when the sahaba came across a whale, some fish, and they didn't know whether it was lawful or not because it was dead. It was dead. And they didn't want to eat until they asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when they asked him, and he told them that, you know, the halal, the dead of the ocean is halal, and the locust, these two, the locust, al-jarad, it's like the grasshopper, and the ocean in general, whatever you find there, even if it's dead, it's lawful. But if you found a dead sheep, can you take it and eat it? This is maita. And it's forbidden. It has to be slaughtered. So he said, give me a portion of it. He used to like a particular part of the goat to eat, alayhi salatu wasalam. When the people would come to visit him, he would put on his best clothes. He always smelled good. He always looked nice. When he had hair, he took care of it. Because when you go for Umrah and Hajj, you don't have any. So he had a lifestyle which he adhered to while not caring for the dunya. That was the sunnah. Moderation. No one is telling you, hold on to the dunya, but don't go to the extreme away from the sunnah. And the book will deal with that extensively. So Zahid is the one who does that. He abandons the things which are of no benefit, as the brother mentioned, as per Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. Al-Abid. Abid. This is someone's name, by the way, right?
Yeah.
Aywa. Worshipper. From Abd. Right? But in the fa'al, ismul fa'al, the one in the state of doing that. Like a driver kind of thing. Drive, driver. Al-Awhad al-Allama. Awhad is like the one in unique. Allama, the extremely knowledgeable. Then he mentioned his name. His name is long. Najmuddin Abu al-Abbas Ahmad bin Shaykh al-Imam al-Alim al-Amil al-Zahid al-Abid al-Allama Izzuddin Abi Abdullah Muhammad Ma'alish Ibn Shaykh al-Imam al-Alim al-Amil al-Zahid al-Abid al-Allama Shaykh al-Islam Mufti al-Anam Sayyid al-Ulama wal-Hukam وشمسدين شمسدين أبي محمد عبد الرحمن ابن الشيخ الإمام العالم العامل العارف الزاهد الورع شيخ الإسلام أبي عمر محمد بن أحمد بن محمد بن قدامة المقدسي الحنبلي رضي الله عنه ما شاء الله. Nowadays, you know, your name is three letters. So he said, الحمد لله الذي عم برحمته جميع العباد. All praise is due to Allah who has encompassed with His mercy all of His creatures. وَقَصَّ أَهْلَ طَاعَتِهِ بِالْهِدَايَةِ إِلَى سَبِيلِ الرَّشَادِ. Now of course they love rhyming. Poetry is part of the language. So you'll find that they often will rhyme. Words and sentences will end with the same qafiyah, known as qafiyah. And He specifically guided the people of obedience, the obedient people among His creation, to the path of righteousness, the path of guidance, the path of knowledge. وَوَفَّقَهُمْ بِلُطْفِهِ لِصَالِحِ الْأَعْمَالِ. And He granted them success due to His extreme kindness to do the righteous deeds. فَفَازُوا بِبُلُوغِ الْمَرَادِ أو الْمُرَادِ. So they were able, they've succeeded in attaining the objective which they had. أحمده حمد معترف بجزيل الإرفاد وأعوذ من وبيل الطرد والإبعاد. I praise Him, the praising of someone who acknowledges the amount and the massive blessings from Him, and the one who seeks refuge from Him to be kicked away and deprived. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له شهادة أدخرها ليوم المعاد أو يوم الميعاد. And I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. He has no partners, a testimony which I'm saving for the day of meeting, the day which has been appointed and promised. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Why did he say, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا not مُحَمَّدٌ? When do you say مُحَمَّدٌ? And what do you say مُحَمَّدًا? So you say, لا إله إلا الله مُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Why? How come, if those who know, know, don't answer? Those who have not yet gone into the grammar, try to give it a wild guess. طيب. مرفوع. And the other one, huh? Half an answer, not bad. In the language, in the Arabic language, there's grammar, like in the English language. Of course, nobody remembers the English grammar now. Nobody ever studied it or even understood it for them to remember it. إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهِ. Very small minority are interested in that thing. For it doesn't make sense for most past perfect, present perfect. It's like, what is this? ما في مشكلة. It's interesting, by the way. طيب, in Arabic, we have something a little different. That each word has a diacritical mark. You know the Dhamma, Fatha, Kasra, Sukun. You see them in the Quran. It's all over the place. These are called diacritical marks. Mashi? Now, the word, the last diacritical mark of the word is usually changeable according to the position of that word in the sentence. So when you say, La ilaha illallah, that's one complete sentence. Meaning is completed. Muhammadun Rasulullah, this is now a new sentence. The default state of the word in the beginning of a sentence is marfu', which is the one that ends with dhamma. So you say Muhammadun. However, in the second one, you inserted adatun nasab, أن. So when it enters upon a word, whenever أن, أن comes before a word, you will find that that word now will end with a fatha, not a dhamma anymore. وَأَنَّ الْمَسَاجِدَ لِلَّهِ فَلَا تَدْعُوا مَعَ اللَّهِ أَحَدًا. And we can give hundreds of examples from the Quran that after anna, there will be a word with fatha, mansuba. So that's why سَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ مُوَضِّحُ طَرِيقَ الْهُدَى وَالسَّدَادُ. Muwaddih is the clarifier. He clarified, or the one who clarified the path of guidance and correctness. قامع الجاحدين والملحدين من أهل الزيغ والعناد. The demolisher of the rejectionists and the atheists from among the people of deviance and stubbornness. A lot of vocabulary, I know. صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله الأكرمين الأجواد صلاة تبلغه بها نهاية الأمل والمراد. والمراد. And then may Allah exalt His mention in a manner of like that of the most noble and generous, in a manner which will reach him at the end of the destination. وبعد, as to what follows. فَإِنِّي كُنْتُ وَقَفْتُ مَرَّةً عَلَى كِتَابٍ مِنْ هَاجِ الْقَاصِدِينَ لِلْشَيْخِ الْإِمَامِ الْعَالِمِ الْأَوْحَى جَمَالِ الدِّينِ ابْنِ الْجَوْزِي. Once, وَعَيْكُمْ سَلَامُ. Once I came across a book called مِنْ هَاجُ الْقَاصِدِينَ, authored by the Imam Jamaluddin Ibn al-Jawzi. Don't worry about the box. Don't worry about the box. معلش مدير بعدين حج. خلي يا حج. جزاك الله خير. رحمه الله تعالى. فرأيته من أجل الكتب وأنفعها. I saw that this book was from among the most beneficial of books and the best of them. وأكثرها فوائد. It's full of benefit. فحصل عندي بموقع. So it had this, it really occupied my mind and heart. Got the best of me. ورغبت في تحصيله ومطالعته. So I intended to then get this book and to read it. He had come across the book and then this is what he wanted to do. فلما تأملته ثانيا وجدته فوق ما كان في نفسي. After I looked into it again, I saw that it's even beyond what I had first thought about it. لكن رأيته كتابا مبسوطا. But I saw that it was too detailed. فأحببت أن أعلق منه هذا المختصر الذي قد احتوى على أكثر مقاصده. So I decided to comment. So I decided to summarize actually, or to abridge the book, so I can deduce the main intent of the book. وأجل مهمته وفوائده, and to clarify and bring forth the important aspects of the book and the benefits therein. سوى ما ذكر في أوائله من مسائل ظاهرة تتعلق بالفروع, except elements which he mentioned in the beginning that deal with branches which he didn't address. فإنها مشهورة في كتب الفقه المستفيضة بين الناس. This you can find readily available in the books of jurisprudence, which are all over the place. إذ كان المقصود من الكتاب غير ذلك, because the intent behind the book is not fiqh. So he skipped some issues of fiqh which you can find in any other fiqh book. ولم ألتزم فيه المحافظة على ترتيبي وذكر ألفاظي بعينه. However, I did not stick to the sequence, the way the author had sequenced the actual chapters, nor the terminology itself. بل ذكرت بعضها بالمعنى قصدا الاختصار. Sometimes I would mention the meaning just to be brief, for brevity. He doesn't want to go into details because he's trying to summarize the book. If he were to quote everything verbatim, there's nothing that is summarized. It'd be the same book again. وربما ذكرت فيه حديثا أو شيئا يسيرا من غيره إن كان مناسبا له والله تعالى أعلم. Sometimes I will add a hadith which I found to be relevant or something like that at occasions and Allah knows best. وأسأل الله الكريم أن ينفعنا به. And I ask Allah the most noble to benefit us with this book. ومن قرأه. And whosoever reads it. الحمد لله. We ask Allah to accept this dua because we will all benefit now. أو سمعه. Or the one who hears it. أو نظر فيه. Or the one who's reading it or looking at it. وأن يجعله خالصا لوجهه. And to make it sincere for his countenance or his face. وأن يختم لنا بخير. And to end our lives with goodness. ويوفقنا لما يرضاه من القول والعمل والنية, and to grant the success to whatever is pleasing to him in terms of statements, actions and intents. وأن يسامحنا في تقصيرنا وتفريطنا, and that he should overlook our shortcomings and our mistakes. ولا يكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين, and that he does not leave us to depend on ourselves, not even the blink of an eye. ولا إلى أحد من خلقه, nor to leave us dependent on any of his creation. فإنه حسبنا ونعم الوكيل, he is sufficient for us and he is the most excellent of protectors. Now comes the Musannif himself, Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullah. We have a robot with us in قال المصنف ابن الجوزي رحمه الله تعالى بعد فراغه من هذه الخطبة. He said, now the author of the book, the one who was given this introduction was Ibn Qudam al-Maqdisi. He said, I saw the book of Ibn al-Jawzi. Now he's going to quote Ibn al-Jawzi رحمه الله. What did Ibn al-Jawzi say? أما بعد فإني رأيتك أيها المريد الصادق العازم والعازم الجازم قد وطنت نفسك على التخلي عن فضول الدنيا شاغلة. I have seen you, the one who in the truthful intender, and the one who's determined and has made up his mind, and you've prepared yourself already to abandon the worldly life which has been preoccupying you. You've reached a point where you've realized possibly what you're doing now. Right? For the longest time, this time was spent doing some dunya thing. Alhamdulillah, today was a transition. Today you're doing something for the akhirah. So he's saying, I have seen that you've already done something like that. You've prepared yourself mentally that, okay, I'm going to give some time for Allah. Not that you don't give time for Allah otherwise, but this is a special time for Allah, other than the salawat and the siyam and the ibadat in general. You've already determined to cut yourself off from the dunya for the life to come. علما منك أن مخالطة الخلق توجب التخليط. Beautiful terminology. After having known yourself that mixing with the creature will cause you to get mixed up. Nah? Too much girgir, in other words, and you will be lost in no time. وإهمال المحاسبة للنفس أصل التفريط. And neglecting accounting oneself, auditing oneself, bringing oneself to account, is the fundamental reason behind negligence. وَأَنَّ الْعُمْرَ إِنْ لَمْ يُسْتَدْرَكْ أَدْرَكَهُ الْفَوْتِ. And that this lifespan of yours, if you can't catch up, it will catch up to you. If you don't catch yourself, it will catch up to you. وَأَنَّ مَرَاحِلَ الْأَنْفَاسِ تُسْرِعُ بِالرَّاكِبِ إِلَى مَنْزِلِ الْمَوْتِ. And that the breath which you're taking, the very breath which you're taking, is hastening with its rider towards the place of death, the graveyard, in other words. فَنَظَرْتُ أَيُّ أَنِيسٍ مِنَ الْكُتُبِ تَسْتَصْحِبَهُ فِي خَلْوَتِكَ. So I looked, which one among the books should you take with you at the time of loneliness? A book which you take with you just to reflect on. وَتَسْتَنْطِقُهُ فِي حَالِ صَمْتِكَ. And you make that book speak while you are silent. فَإِذَا أَنْتَ تُؤْثِرُ كِتَابَ إِحْيَاءُ عُلُومِ الدِّينِ. Huh. Here comes the hot stuff. So you find yourself choosing the book إِحْيَاءُ عُلُومِ الدِّينِ. Have you heard of that book before? Who has heard of the book إِحْيَاءُ عُلُومِ الدِّينِ? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Who wrote it? Al-Imam Al-Ghazali, rahimahullah. Is it a good book?
I have two, three opinions.
How about we say sometimes?
Sometimes, yes.
Yes. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not. Why? The Sheikh will explain. The Sheikh will explain. I'm not going to explain. It's going to come from him. He said, anyways, but when you've reached that point and you've decided that's what was happening during their time. During their time, when someone wanted to abandon the dunya and turn to Allah and wanted a book which will help him in that transitional phase, he would get the book Ihya Ulumuddin. That was the book that was helping him transfer from the old lifestyle to the new lifestyle. وَتَزْعَمْ إِنْفِرَادُهُ فِي جِنْسِهِ. And you claim that it's a unique book in its kind. ونفاسته في نفسه, and that it is of high value in and of itself. فاعلم أن في كتاب الإحياء آفات لا يعلمها إلا العلماء. Know that in the book Ihya there are calamities which no one knows but the scholars. No one knows but the ulama. One of us may read, say, oh, this is nice. Oh, beautiful work. But you don't know that you're reading a fabricated hadith which the Prophet ﷺ never said. And it's saying that the Prophet said. Critical issue. وَأَقَلَّهَا الْأَحَادِيثُ الْبَاطِلَ الْمَوْضُوعَ وَالْمَوْقُوفَ. The least of these calamities, the least, is the fabricated narrations which have been invented, yet they have been attributed to the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. وَقَدْ جَعَلَهَا مَرْفُوعًا. He made them, you know, going back, attributed to the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام. وَإِنَّمَا نَقَلَهَا كَمَا اقْتَرَاهَا لَا أَنَّهُ افْتَرَاهَا. But look at the justice of the ulama. Look at the justice of the ulama, which we don't practice today. He said, however, he only narrated them because he read them like that. He did not invent it himself. So he's still defending him in a sense. That he wasn't trying to mislead you. He was unknowledgeable or not knowledgeable in this field. He read this information somewhere else. He quoted it for you in his book, not knowing that this is not correct. So he was saying that, just to clear his name. وَلَا يَنْبَغِي التَّعَبُّدْ بِحَدِيثٍ مَوْضُوعٍ. However, it is not permissible to seek nearness to Allah and to enslave oneself to Allah through a fabricated narration. Speaking about Shabbi Barat. Huh? Yeah. So many people at work, people at work, man, from not even from, يعني, from the Arabs. So what is it? Fasting. Are you fasting today? Are you fasting? He said, yeah, it's the middle of Shaban. I said, okay. So it's a long discussion. I couldn't get into the discussion with that individual. He's a colleague. But anyways, it's all over the place. Huh? So, you know, people want to get closer to Allah with a hadith that are not sahih. None. There's no sahih hadith about the 15th of Sha'ban. One hadith. Only one hadith. That Allah will forgive on the 15th of Sha'ban all of the believers except the mushrik and one who has enmity with his brother. That's it. That's what the hadith says. It's a khabar, information. And some of the ulama, hassanu, some of the ulama said it's da'if. But let us say, according to the lenient position, that it is an authentic hadith. Good chain of narration. Does that mean that you can fast and pray and add your own ibadah? No, it does not. If Allah is telling you, will forgive you, He's doing it without you doing anything. So, you adding something which the Messenger of Allah didn't do is a problem. Alayhi sallam. Anyways, that's not the time for that.
Fireworks in Pakistan?
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful. والاختيار بلفظ مصنوع. Nor should you be deceived by يعني the eloquent speech. Somebody will tell you something that sounds really nice, so you act upon it. The Sheikh said, no. Don't act upon a fabricated narration, nor be deceived by some beautiful words and eloquence. وكيف أرتضي لك أن تصلي صلوات الأيام ولياليها وليس فيها كلمة قالها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. How could I ever be pleased for you, my brother, to be praying the prayers of the night and the day, yet in that prayer of yours, not even one word was ever said by the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام. Yani you're adding into your ibadat things which the Prophet never said, alayhi sallam. How can I be pleased with that? Knowing you're adding something which he didn't do. This is from his hirs, rahimahullah. وَكَيْفَ أُؤْثِرُ أَنْ يَطْرُقَ سَمْعَكَ مِنْ كَلَامِ الْمُتَصَوِّفَ الَّذِي جَمَعَهُ وَنَدَبَ إِلَى الْعَمَلِ بِهِ مَا لَا حَاصِلَ لَهُ مِنَ الْكَلَامِ فِي الْفَنَاءِ وَالْبَقَاءِ وَالْأَمْرِ بِشِدَّةِ الْجُوعِ وَالْخُرُوجِ إِلَى السِّيَاحَةِ فِي غَيْرِ حَاجَةٍ وَالدُّخُولِ فِي الْفَلَاةِ بِغَيْرِ زَادٍ إِلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مِمَّا قَدْ كَشَفْتُ عَنْ عِوَارِهِ فِي كِتَابِ الْمُسَمَّى بِتَلْبِيسِ إِبْلِيسَ. How could I ever favor for you that upon your ears falls the speech of the Sufis? Whom الذي جمعه, the one that he collected, Al-Ghazali rahimahullah, and he encouraged the people to act upon it when it comes to matters of speech about the eternity, or fana is like when you're being one with the issue of pantheism, falling into wahdat al-wujud, and you becoming one with the Creator, and the same thing as the Buddhists and the Hindus. Wal-baqa and permanence. Wal-amru bi-shiddat al-ju', and that you should reach extremes in hunger. Yani you starve yourself almost to death, which is not from the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam. In fact, Allah commanded us, wakulu washrabu, eat and drink. وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا, but do not go to extremes. Don't exaggerate. Don't be extravagant. But eating and drinking. In fact, if you were about to die and you found a pig, you're allowed to eat it. Generally, it's haram. But if you were in a desert and your life was at stake and the only thing you found was a pig and a bottle of whiskey, and you needed to eat and drink to survive, you are obliged to eat and drink. But according to need. And some will say, oh, this is the opportunity of a lifetime. Give the whole bottle, he's walking around drunk now in the desert. Wallah, brother, you know, that's all I found. Akhi, you needed a sip in order not to dehydrate. You're not allowed to get drunk, huh? So if you're ever in that situation, I hope you never get there, make sure that you don't misuse this rukhsa. It's a concession for just survival purposes, not for entertainment. That's why the ulama say, if you ate enough of that pig, and you've gotten your enough, you, one more bite is haram. One more bite, khalas, because that is, you needed something for survival. It's not something for entertainment. Ala kulli hal, how did I get here? Now, wal khuruj, and then going out in tourism for no reason. Going out, you know, spreading the whatever you want to spread. And they say, you know, Ardullahi wasi'a, the land of Allah is spacious. And Allah said, you know, famshu fil ard, you know, walk upon the earth. So they go just to travel for no reason, just wandering the land. And entering and going into the place of a desert without any food and sustenance. Ila ghayri dhalik, and other things which I've exposed in my book, Talbis Iblis. Ibn Jawzi wrote the book, Talbis Iblis. Like the deceiving of Iblis. وَسَأَكْتُبُ لَكَ كِتَابًا يَخْلُو مِن مَفَاسِدِهِ زَكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرٌ يَخْلُو عَن مَفَاسِدِهِ. I shall write for you a book that is cleansed from its corruption. إِحْيَاءُ عُلُومِ الدِّينِ. وَلَا يُخِلُّ بِفَوَائِدِهِ, but it does not undermine its benefit. The benefit of the book, إِحْيَاءُ عُلُومِ الدِّينِ. أَعْتَمِدُ فِيهِ مِنَ النُّقُولِ الْأَصَحِّ وَالْأَشْهَرِ. I will depend and rely in that book of mine in regards to the statement, to the most correct ones and the most popular. وَمِنَ الْمَعْنَى الْأَثْبَتَ وَالْأَجْوَدِ, and from among the meanings, the most confirmed and the most eloquent, the best. وَأَحْذِفُ مَا يَصْلُحُ حَذْفَهُ, and I will eliminate and emit whatever can be emitted. وَأَزِيدُ مَا يَصْلُحُ أَنْ يُزَدِ, and I will increase whatever can be, or add whatever can be added. ثُمَّ قَالَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ, then he said afterwards, وَإِذْ قَدْ صَحَّ عَزْمُكَ عَلَى الْعُزْلَةِ لِاسْتِفَاءِ حَقَّ الْحَقِّ مِنَ النَّفْسِ. If you've already made up your mind to be in the state of solitude, or solitude, نعم, being on your own, right? In order to give you right, to get back from yourself what it deserves, because we've been depriving ourselves from ibadah, from the things which it deserves, and we're occupying it with all kinds of worldly things. وَالْأَخْذِ عَلَى يَدِهَا, being firm in doing so. فَلْيَكُنْ وَكِيلُكَ عَلَيْهَا الْعِلْمِ, very important. What should be that factor, what should be that catalyst, which will help you make that transition? عِلْم, knowledge. Because without knowledge you will get lost. وَكُنْ بَاحِثًا عَنْ دَقَائِقِ هَوَاهَا لَعَلَّكَ تَسْلَمْ, and be very keen on finding the fine details so that you will be safe. وَحْذَرْ سَبِيلَ أَحَدِ رَجُلَيْنِ, and be careful of being on the path of one of these two men. Be careful of being one of these two men. Number one, عَالِمٌ, a scholar. عَرِفَ الْجِدَالَ فِي الْفِقْهِ وَاقْتَنَعَ بِرِئَاسَتِهِ. He is argumentative in fiqh and he is convinced in his leadership. This alim. أو نال القضاء فسعى في حفظ منزلته, or he has attained a level among judges, because back then the highest position you can have is a judge. Until now, a judge's salary is around 50,000 riyals. I've entered upon some of them. Okay, they're sitting on his desk with a siwak, huh? With his feet, you know, hanging. Every time they bring him some dates and some gahwa and some chai, and the two people come and dispute while he's brushing his teeth the whole time during the session. And when they're done, he said, okay, Fulan, you know, put him in prison. And this one is gone. Psh, done. Good job for the one who fears Allah. For the one who fears Allah. But you know why they pay him that much? Because people try to bribe them all the time. So they have to give him a salary that makes him immune to bribery. Huh? So no one will say, take this and hook it up. It's not going to do it. So I got enough money already, man. I don't need that bribe of yours. And still some of them are bribed. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ So we are living in times where not everybody fears Allah, even among those. So, but anyways, a qadi is a big shot. Big, big shot. And Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, at some point, he was the biggest among the qudat. He used to have his own car, not a car, like the, you know, what do you, the car that, you know, with the horses. He was wearing some fancy stuff. Yeah, you know the story. He looked so good that a Jewish man who used to sell oil, right? Of course, not car oil, because they didn't have it then. Probably olive oil or something. So he was old, had stains on his clothes and everything, and he looked up in Hajar al-Asqalani looking all fancy. And then, what is this? He said, you know, didn't your messenger say that the dunya, this worldly life, is a prison for the believer and it's a paradise for the disbeliever? It seems that you are in paradise and I am in prison. So how do you understand this? How do you understand the hadith in the light of facts? So he told him a very convincing answer. He said, see what I'm in now? What I'm in now, in comparison to what Allah has prepared for the believers in the life to come, this is like prison. And what you are in now, in comparison to what Allah has prepared of a punishment in the life to come, is like paradise. And the man said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. Because there's nothing else to say afterwards. But that was the case. And really, that's what it boils down to. I mean, whatever you have now in Jannah is going to be nothing. What Ferrari, what Lamborghini, or according to the youth, they say Lambo. I was in Dubai. I'm speaking to the Shabab, 15, 16 years old. I'm trying to communicate with them. Supposedly, I'm their age, yani, or more or less. So I said, so what car, you know, what car is your favorite? So they started telling me, I like Ferrari. And this one said, I like, I don't know what. This one said Lambo. I said, what is Lambo? So they said, Lamborghini, but turn out that there's a short for Lamborghini. I said, Wallah, mashallah, I'm still living back in the days, ya Sheikh. I remember Lamborghini, we never got to the Lambo stuff. And then the next one would say, Fir. I said, what is Fir? I said, Ferrari. Khalas, ya boy, then every word you're going to cut it in half? What is this? Is saving on money or saving on words or something? Lambo, brother. I said, okay, Lambo, inshallah. May Allah give you a good Lambo. Tayyib. So how did we get here? Aywa. So what was I saying? So yeah, we were dealing with the issue of the statements which he chose, the knowledge. And so don't be of someone, a qadi, who now is trying to maintain his position. He became a qadi, so now everything goes to maintain a position, like I mentioned earlier. أَوْ زَخْرَفَ الْوَعْظَ فَضَيَّقَ أَعْيُنِ شَبَكَتِهِ Or he beautified the word, and so he restricted that which is vast. That's one type of man. The other type of man which we should avoid is Zahid. Who remembers the word?
Oh, sorry.
That's Zuhd. Zahid. Alhamdulillah. Good. Ascetic. يَتَقَلَّبُ بِرَأْيِهِ الْفَاسِدِ فِي جَهَلَتِهِ يعني he is confused or he is overwhelmed with the many choices he has, all of which are corrupt and based on ignorance. يعني whatever he chooses is actually no good. وَيَتَقَرَّبُ بِتَقْبِيلِ يَدِهِ وَاعْتِقَادِ بَرَكَتِهِ And he seeks nearness to Allah by kissing the hand of a sheikh and seeking barakah from him. Deja vu. You know what deja vu means? Maybe not. وَيَعْمَلُ بِهَوَاهِ دُونَ شَرْعِ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّةِ And he does deeds according to his desires, irrespective of the legislation of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Anything that comes to mind, he just does. This is his ibadah. Anything which he's, even if he doesn't know, he sees someone else doing it, he will do it because someone else is doing it. Doesn't know the evidence for it. It just looked good. It looked good.
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. Have you seen that before?
Yeah.
Where did that come from? Ask him. Where is that from? Show me which hadith. He'll bring you some fabricated material. They have a whole page, by the way, on the website with fabricated material to try to endorse this particular act. So, where did he learn it from? It doesn't. Tell him, Tabi Akhi, did you verify, did you bother to verify if the Messenger of Allah did that, alayhi salatu wasalam? Because if he didn't do it, you don't want to do it. If he didn't speak about it, he may have not done it. He may have told others to do it. If you don't have any sahih hadith, these are things you have to leave alone. But for some people, it's so difficult to convince them. Yeah, Shaykh, you go into a big war. Over this small discussion, you will get nowhere at the end. Except that you're a Wahhabi, and he's a Muslim. It's your problem. You are the one making things, you know, tight and difficult. He was, the life was good with him. Everybody back home was doing it. You know what's going on? As if what we do back home is the deen. Because if Islam was what you do back home, then my Islam in Lebanon is different than yours in Pakistan, different than yours in India, and then we will have 20-25 Islam. But we have only one. Maybe, you know, we back home, wallah brother, that's how we do. Back home. It's the most common answer. Yes, I know, but back home, we do it again. Right. Back home. It's not going to help you at the end of the road. You know, what is going to help you is the sunnah. فَهَذَانِ عَادِلَانِ عَنْ مَنْهَجِ صَوَابٍ. Now these two kinds of people are both off track in regards to the path of correctness. مُقْتَنِعَانِ بِقُشُورِ الْأَعْمَالِ عَنْ خَالِصِ اللِّبَابِ. They are both convinced and satisfied with the crust or with the skin while abandoning the actual juice or the thing itself. Whatever that is. Okay, like someone getting the oranges, just get the peel of the orange and he leaves the actual orange. So they're satisfied with the outside and they leave the essence. Maybe that's a better word. خَادِعَانِ لِلْمُبْتَدِينَ بِلَامِعِ السَّرَابِ. And they are deceiving the beginners with the mirage. Like their speech is like a mirage. You know, it looks, you see the water, when you get there, there's nothing. That's how they deceive the people. وَطَرِيقِهِمَا بِمَعْزِلٍ عَنْ سُنَنِ السَّلَفِ الصَّالِحِ الَّذِي وَجَدَّةُ الْإِسْتِقَامَةُ وَطَرِيقَةُ السَّلَامَةُ. And their methodology is away and distant from the way of the righteous predecessors, which was seriousness in being correct and being upright, and it is a path of safety. وَسَأُدْرِجُ لَكَ فِي هَذَا الْكِتَابِ إِنْشَاءَ اللَّهِ مِنْ أَخْبَارِهِ مَا يَدُلُّ عَلَى أَثَارِهِمْ. And I shall narrate to you in this book, inshallah, some of their news which indicate their traces in their lifestyle. وَكِتَابُنَا هَذَا يَحْتَاجُ إِلَيْهِ الْمُنْتَهِي. This book of ours, the one who has already reached his destination in terms of iman and ibadah, needs this book. كَمَا يَفْتَقِرُ إِلَيْهِ الْمُبْتَدِي. The same way the beginner is in need of it. So whether you've made it or you're trying to start, you need this book according to the Shaykh, rahimahullah. لِأَنَّ فِيهِ أَسْرَارُ الْعِبَادَاتِ. Because in it are the secrets of ibadat. Not secrets in a sense that only some people know. That you only learn it from some people, like the secret. Not secret in the sense. He means it, the essence or the elements which people may not speak about because their hearts are not sound. There's nothing secretive. It's from the hadith. It's from the Quran. It's not a secret that you get it from some mysterious source. Say, wallah, this is a secret, only we know about it. No, it's known already, but it doesn't get addressed often, sadly. وَالتَّحْذِيرُ مِنْ أَفَاتِ الْبُعَامَلَاتِ. And I shall also warn you of the evil transactions. وَقَدْ جَعَلَهُ الْمُصَنِّفُ أَرْبَعَةُ أَرْبَعَ. The author made it into four quarters. Four quarters. الأول ربع العبادات. The first quarter we will be dealing with is the quarter of ibadat. What is ibadat? Acts of worship. وثاني ربع العادات. عادات. Habits or habitual acts. So if you want to say worship acts, we say habitual acts. So we can have some system here. والثالث ربع المهلكات. The quarter of destroyers.
the things which will destroy us. والرابع ربع المنجيات. What's the opposite of مهلكات? منجيات. The one that will give salvation. The one that will grant safety. The things that will protect you. So a quarter of ibadat, a quarter for adat, a quarter for muhlikat, and a quarter for munjiyat. And we need all four actually. It's a very interesting division of the book. وَكُلُّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِّنْ هَذِهِ الْأَقْسَامِ الْأَرْبَعَةِ يَشْتَمِلُ عَلَىٰ كُتُبٍ وَأَبْوَابٍ وَفُصُولٍ. And each one of these four quarters has its own set of books and chapters. It's difficult to translate this to English, because you would say abwab and fusul both are chapters, but anyways, chapter and subchapter. How about that? فمن أقسام الربع الأول, among the parts of the first quarter is ربع العبادات كتاب العلم وفضله وما يتعلق به. The chapter of knowledge, the virtue of knowledge, and all that which is related to both. And the question which we have now is, shall we begin now or shall we postpone it till next session? In fact, we should postpone it because I have some announcements to make. طيب. So we just went through the introduction. We didn't deal with the heavy stuff yet. The heavy stuff, inshallah, is going to come. So let me just turn off this recorder.